You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's play it, everybody, on a Monday, April 29th, and a Tuesday, April 30th, another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Matt Derry with you, and we're recapping the draft, continuing to talk about undrafted free agents that the Lions have brought in. We'll tell you about one that's certainly intriguing over the weekend, and recently that the Lions are bringing in, that apparently they beat out about 20 other teams for, according to Ian Rappaport, and he's an offensive lineman, which is a good sign. Speaking of old linemen, Taylor Decker's fifth-year option has been picked up. We'll talk about that. And joining me today will be Brett Whitefield, our good friend from Pro Football Focus, PFF Lions. Brett is all over this draft. Positives, negatives, what he likes, what he doesn't like. We'll get Brett's thoughts on this draft, how these players graded with Pro Football Focus at the college level, and we'll do all that in a couple of minutes right here on Locked On Lions. We're brought to you today by our friends at Adaptive In-Home Solutions. Oh, my man Neil Mellendorf and his crew. Barrier-free home modifications to accommodate disabilities and aging. Call them today at 248-860-4384. And we're also brought to you by our friends at ZipRecruiter.com. All right, so couple of news items. I want to get to Brett, and I want to get to something that I heard on the ticket this afternoon on the drive home, which has me ticked off. First and foremost, many people were wondering why Bob Quinn was quiet, why Bob Quinn wouldn't answer the question about Taylor Decker and picking up his fifth-year option, something the Lions can do right here, right now. And, of course, Taylor Decker was Bob Quinn's first-round draft pick and is entering year four. He'll get a year four and a year five as the team has picked up his fifth-year option. And this is going to be a big year, a huge year for Taylor Decker, certainly at left tackle, and a guy that is very, very important and vital to the team's success. We'll see how that works out and how he plays. Coming in healthy this year, Taylor Decker is a solid, solid left tackle and a good football player. Can he take that next step and become a great football player? That will be determined. We'll see. I'm glad the Lions picked up his fifth-year option. That's a good sign. Item number two, Bo Benschowl, the big right guard from the Wisconsin Badgers, is your newest Detroit Lion. Big Bo, who comes to you courtesy of Madison, Wisconsin, ranked 163rd on PFF's big board. He's a right guard, and he's a guy, according to Ian Rappaport, who had offers from more than 20 teams as an undrafted free agent, but chose to choose the Lions, and why not? You know, this is a guy that, can compete for the right guard spot. And I know you're probably saying, now, wait a minute, Joe Dahl was drafted, Kenny Wiggins was signed. All these guys that the Lions have that are possibilities to possibly play right guard. Ode Abushi was signed as a free agent. Look, if this kid comes in and shows he can play, he's from Wisconsin. All right, the Badgers always churn out offensive linemen to the NFL. And while he's an undrafted free agent, many people thought he'd be a late-round pick. Bo Benschowl is intriguing. And this is the right move by the Lions to keep bringing in as many offensive linemen as possible, because the way I look at it, this is not that very deep of a team when it comes to the O-line. And it's a team, and it's an offensive line that needs depth and needs to have some individuals added to the list. I mean, you know, TJ Lang is gone. So where is this team going to go when it comes to the offensive line and at right guard? And will they find a way to replace TJ and do it in a way where it's effective and not just plug and play like it was a few years ago, where they were throwing all sorts of different things, you know, out there when Taylor Decker was out? They tried Greg Robinson when TJ missed games, and they tried, who knows who at right guard. And, you know, many people are saying, oh, this is where Tyrell Crosby can play. Well, he's a tackle. And the Lions have indicated might not be the guy to be moving to right guard. And the depth chart right now has Kenny Wiggins at number one, Joe Dahl, Ode Abushi, and now at least you can add Big Bo from Wisconsin to that mix. All right, before we get to Brett Whitefield from PFF, one other item, and I heard this today, which I cannot quite understand. And I just heard Dave Burkett on with Mike Valenti on 97.1 The Ticket today. And you guys know how big of a fan I am of Mike's and how great his show is. It's the best show in town. And Dave is an immensely talented free press reporter and beat writer for the Lions. Does a great job. So they're talking about the draft, and they're talking about Jelani Tavai, the highly controversial second-round pick out of Hawaii. And Burkett makes the comment about Tavai. He says, yeah, I hadn't heard of him, and I texted some scouts. And, you know, and Valeni says, well, the way this draft is shaking out, it looks like they only have one starter. And I'm thinking, all right, Dave, step in here and tell us that there's three or four starters from this draft, please. And Burkett says, yeah, T.J. Hockenson will obviously be your starting tight end in mostly, you know, 12 personnel sets with one back and two tight ends with Jesse James. And yet Jelani Tavai is probably a backup to start the season. Hold on a second here. And I'm not taking a shot at Dave. I'm not taking a shot at Mike. I'm not taking a shot at anybody. If Jelani Tavai, a high second-round pick, is not a starter at the start of the year at middle linebacker with Jared Davis on the outside, then the Lions have major problems. You can't be drafting for depth in the second and third rounds when you just finished 6-10 last year. When Las Vegas moved your over-under win total yesterday from 7 wins down to 6 after the draft. Maybe, or probably a backup to start the year? Who's starting ahead of Jelani Tavai at linebacker? Can somebody tell me? Oh, well, they got Christian Jones. Christian Jones? The bust free agent from last year? Who didn't, he was fine. I don't want fine anymore. And Lions fans shouldn't want fine anymore. Devon Kennard? Yeah, he's probably a starter. Had a decent year. Find a way to get your second round pick on the field. He's probably a backup? No way. And I got news for you. And I'm serious about this. Will Harris better be on the field a lot too. As your third round pick. The heartbeat of BC football, a Boston College captain on defense, hard hitter, ball hawk. Get him on the field. I don't want any more developmental players like Tracy Walker last year, where he was out there sometimes. Oh, PFF loved him. Great. Was he out on the field a lot at the start of the year when the defense was getting shredded by the Jets and Niners? Probably a backup. Jelani Tavai better be starting in the middle. And Jared Davis moves to the outside. Because I'm sick and tired of hearing about Bob Quinn's drafts being pretty good. We don't need pretty good around here anymore. Lions fans want to see some greatness. We want to hear about some Pro Bowl players that finally Bob Quinn has drafted. I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about developing really good football players and getting better. And maybe Jared Davis, A'shaun Robinson, Taylor Decker, Kenny Golladay, one of these guys becomes a Pro Bowl player. Because under Bob Quinn's watch, the first three drafts, no Pro Bowlers. Darius Slay's a Pro Bowler. He was drafted by Martin Mayhew. T.J. Lang was a Pro Bowler. He was a free agent pickup. I don't think I'm wrong here. Hearing about Jelani Tavai being a backup 2 days after he's been drafted or whatever it is ridiculous. He better be starting. He was a high second-round pick. He better be out there right away. Oh, but Christian Jones can sit on the bench because he wasn't good enough last year to be a high-impact guy. And they took a linebacker, and they're moving Jared Davis over. Bye, Christian. Have a seat. Your thoughts on this at Derry Speaks on Twitter. That's where you can follow me. And the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. Adaptive In-Home Solutions, Neil Mellendorf and his crew. Unbelievable. You can check out their work at adaptiveinhomesolutions.com. Are you moving in somebody into your home, whether it's a parent or grandparent that's aging? Do you have somebody that's disabled? What Adaptive In-Home Solutions does, they come in, they take care of your house. They add barrier-free home modifications. They bring in grab bars, wheelchair ramps, lifts. They build things in the kitchen and the bathrooms and renovate things to make your home exactly what it needs to be. And that is accommodating. All right? They do all new construction. They do wheelchair accessible. They meet ADA requirements if that's what you're looking for. Call them today, 248 248- 860-4384. That's 248-860-4384. Or go to adaptiveinhomesolutions.com. They serve all of Southeast Michigan. They're a licensed builder of 27 years. And oh, by the way, on their staff, they've got an occupational therapist. While they're in your home building these barriers, while they're grab bars, the ramps, the new construction, whatever you need, they've got the OT there with them to work with said disabled person or aging grandmother, grandparent, parent, mom, or dad to get them moving, to get them working. That's what occupational therapy is all about. That's what a one-stop shop is all about. That's what Adaptive In-Home Solutions is all about. Check them out on the web at adaptiveinhomesolutions.com. Our ladies and gentlemen, good friend of the podcast, Brett Whitefield, joins me now from Pro Football Focus, PFF, Lions. Brett is all over it and gives us a couple of minutes right here on Locked on Lions. What's up, B?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm riled up, dude. This Burkett comment on the ticket today, and I love Dave and I love Mike, so I'm not beefing on anybody, but Jelani Tavai is a backup? Like, what? What is going? What is going on here?
Listen, if they compound a suspect pick by making him a backup, then I'd be very disappointed in that. I got to imagine, Matt, that they came up to get their guy, and if it's their guy, they should be giving him every opportunity to start, right?
Well, that's my thing. And Brett, you watch this team as closely as anybody. I'm sorry, but saying, well, they got Christian Jones. I don't care about Christian Jones. You drafted this kid, I forgot the number, but a high second-round pick. He better be out on the field in week one.
Yeah, I agree. 43 overall. Especially because the nature of the pick. It was so out of left field. It's like, man, if you're going to be that bold to get your guy, then let's make sure that this guy can be on the field.
What did you think of the draft overall? We'll get to Devine in a second, but overall, I'm not talking about letter grades and crap like that, Brett, but yeah. As you put your PFF hat on and you also put your scouting hat on, you watch a lot of film, how did you view what the Lions did Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
I think like my opinion is the same today as it was right after the draft, and that's just kind of meh. It's just meh. You know, it was a really weird draft class, and so what I've tried to do to be a little optimistic is think about the, you know, what the overall theme was, and it seems like the whole theme of the offseason was getting better against the pass, whether that's rushing the pass or in coverage, and so I guess if I look at it from that standpoint, they probably accomplished that. I just don't know that I would have gone the direction they did with each specific pick and player.
Let's start with Hockenson. Are you high on the pick? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, so like Hockenson he's a really good prospect. I mean, he's a complete tight end prospect. He's a freak athlete. He's a really good run blocker. Everything you want for in a first round pick at tight end. There's just not a lot of value there, Matt. It's a weird spot to take a tight end, especially when this was a team that was, 6-10 last year? I mean, they have a lot of other needs, a lot of other directions they could have gone.
Who would you have wanted there?
Well, so, like, Devin Bush was a guy, and it's, you know, funny because they ended up taking a linebacker in the second round, but if they really wanted a linebacker that could flat-out cover, I thought Devin Bush would be a good pick. But more importantly, you know, this sounds like the Pittsburgh Steelers offered us some type of sounds like the Pittsburgh Steelers offered them some type of trade to move down to 20. And I'm assuming it was the same deal that they offered Denver there at 10, and I would have just taken that. I mean, you're getting a bunch of value. This team needs players. They need contributors. I would have definitely, you know, gathered the draft assets and thrown more darts at the board.
All right, what about Tavai? You know, as you watch the tape and as you go through the grading system.
Yeah, so when I first got this pick, I was actually right at the end of Avengers Endgame. So I'm like on this climax of a movie, and then the pick comes across my phone, and I was like, no way. Like, what is this? You know, like I was completely miffed at first. Admittedly, I hadn't done a full profile on Tavai, so I had to go back to the tape that night. I watched like 8 games, I think 5 from 18 and 3 from 17. And I was pleasantly surprised. I still think the pick was a little ridiculous, maybe, you know, 43. But I can see why they like the guy. They like these linebackers that are big and they can count on to contribute in all three phases of defense, whether that's run defense, or pass rushing, or, you know, in coverage. And I think Tavai is a guy who has potential to be effective in all three of those areas. I'm not sure he'll be great in any of those three, but I think he can contribute in all three, and that's what they like in their linebackers.
It's funny hearing the comparison. People are saying Jelani Tavai is comparable with Kyle Van Noy, and that just makes my stomach churn. You know, KVN seems to be a, you know, all world player in New England, but we're comparing him to Kyle Van Noy, and I know Mayhew took Van Noy and not Quinn, but oh, great, you know?
Yeah, obviously the Van Noy experience here was pretty bad. I think Tavai has more coverage upside than Van Noy does. So I think Van Noy does a lot of the things they like at the line of scrimmage. I think Tavai gives you that, plus a little bit extra in the passing game as a coverage defender. But, I guess, from a size profile and athleticism even, they're probably pretty similar.
Brett Whitefield, Pro Football Focus, PFF, Lions. All right, so we don't have to go through every pick. What did you like? Were there any players that you saw that you went, all right, good pick, and gave it a giant check mark or a thumbs up?
Yeah, so I thought day three they did a better job. Actually, before I say that, I think Will Harris is a guy. Now, again, this is contingent on him getting on the field year one and playing some downs, but that's a guy – I get why they like him. He can play in the box. He can cover the slot. He can play deep. So now they like these three safety rotations. They ran it more than any team in the league last year. So now they've got three guys that can all do that. They can all play in the box, all play deep, and all cover the slot. I like the versatility they're going for there. Now the big question is this guy going to be on the field year one? I'm not sure that there was a ton of value with that pick, but I do like the player, and I like the versatility there.
I'm with you on Will Harris. I think he's a really good football player, and I've seen him, so that helps. But like you said, last year everybody said it, and you guys at Pro Football Focus graded Tracy Walker so high, but how often did he play?
Yeah, he was more of that third safety, and he wasn't even always the third safety, but you know, he didn't play a ton of snaps, so this will be a big year for him to see if he is one of those every down type of players.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so like day three, I think I thought they hit some good picks on day three, actually. Kind of made up for two kind of mad picks to start. But the Amani Oruwariye pick, I thought that was great. He was my personal like cornerback four. I think he was PFF's cornerback five. We had a, you know, a top 50 grade on the guy, and we ended up getting him in the fifth round.
Yeah, I like
huge value.
I like Oruwariye myself. We can just call him Amani. That's a tough one, Brett. But good size and speed, and makes plays. I remember the Appalachian State game. I got text messages out the ass from friends going, "Turn on this game right now. Penn State's about to lose to Appalachian State." And then Amani swoops in with a game-winning the interception to kind of ice the game for Penn State. And you know, Bob Quinn spent a lot of the offseason talking about playmakers. I think this kid is one of them for sure.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, so I like that pick. Oh, go ahead.
No, you. You're the man.
All right. Travis Fulgham, I know, you know, some of the local guys are a little unsure of him, what he brings to the table. Fulgham was a guy, when I watched the tape, that really stood out to me, and I was really curious to see where he'd fit in this wide receiver class, because this class was super deep. You've got a guy coming from not only a small school, Matt, but a school that's literally until this year never had a player drafted. You know, they had two go in this year, actually, but before that, Old Dominion never had a player drafted. So I was really curious to see where Fulgham would fit in that class, because he's a very impressive player on tape. And I know we liked him at PFF. We had a top 120 grade on him. But he looked from like a size and speed athleticism standpoint. I think he definitely fits that Kenny Galladay mold, and he's a legit deep threat and a legit red zone guy, and I think that's going to help the offense. Hopefully, at some point, they'll help their red zone woes a little bit.
PFF's Brett Whitefield with me. You said it yourself, Brett, and I haven't even put it on a tee for you to hit it out of the park. But it just seems like all these picks, a lot of them are all about size, guys that are tall, guys that are, you know, bigger. Except for the running back, the kid Johnson out of Maryland, everybody's kind of has this size thing with them. It's you look at the Patriots draft, it's the same thing. N'Keal Harry's a big dude. You know, all the guys that the Pats took. Chase Winovich is a tall kid. It almost seems like the Lions mirrored, shockingly, what the Patriots were doing when it comes to drafting size.
yeah, there's definitely like a consistent philosophy there. I think Quinn said everything you need to know after. I think he did an interview with Tory Petri where he said, you know, look, this is still a big man's game. And he, you know, he was comparing it to how college has gone a lot smaller, just about every position. But, you know, Bob is standing firm saying, hey, this is a big man's game and we want big, strong guys playing each position.
But see, that's where I, to me, Devin Bush is a better football player than Jelani Tavai. And obviously, Devin Bush went, you know, very high in the first round, and Tavai was still a second round pick. But you have that opportunity to take a guy like that. It almost seems like any time we can see any players, you know, rounds one through four projected next year, the year after, you know, whatever. We'll see how long Bob Quinn is here, and I think he'll be here a while. But we should almost cross him off our Lions boards because of the size factor.
Yeah, absolutely, especially at the linebacker spot. I mean, he said himself there's only two or three guys per year he's comfortable drafting to play linebacker because of the size initiative there. So, yeah, I mean, even, like, look at the Austin Bryant pick, you know, from Clemson. He's not the spectacular athlete or anything, but I can tell you exactly why they like him. He's 6'6", 280 with a humongous wingspan. You know, he's got just this massive dude playing defensive end. So, I mean, it's a total Patriots Bob Quinn-style pick.
Final thing, Brett, you know, what's next? Obviously, I was kind of questioning the other day, like, all right, they didn't add to the pitching staff. There wasn't another quarterback taken. That's 2 years in a row. And I also looked at, you know, Bo Benschowl and Ryan Pope, two offensive linemen not drafted but picked up as undrafted free agents. Are you concerned about the O-line depth? Or can those guys help even though they're UDFAs?
Yeah, I think Benschowl can really help. He was actually the highest graded run blocker in the country last year for us as far as a interior offensive lineman position goes. So I think we had a fourth round grade on him. You know, I get there's some technique issues there and some consistency issues of why he probably went undrafted, but I think he definitely helps. I mean, you're looking at Obuchi and Wiggins there. I mean, that's not a very strong group. I don't think he, you know, necessarily starts from day one or anything, but I think that's a guy who could definitely take that spot over. That's the most optimistic outlook I can give you on that. As far as like the quarterback situation goes, Matt, I mean, after, like, this class is just kind of a dud, you know, even some of the first round quarterbacks just not great. I think after Ryan Finley came off the board, what was that, like in the fourth or fifth round, I kind of figured the Lions wouldn't take a quarterback because there just wasn't anybody there that was really worth spending a pick on. And it is unfortunate. They need to get, you know, their backup situation figured out. And they might think they have done that with Connor Cook, but I'm not sold on it.
Yeah, and I'm not sold on Tom Savage either. I've just never liked him, but that's neither here nor there. Brett, always appreciate the time, brother. Thanks so much as always.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.
Brett Whitefield from Pro Football Focus. Always love talking to some Lions football with him. You heard some of the grades that the folks at PFF were giving some of the guys, and I'm with Brett. I think some of the later round draft picks certainly seem to be making Lions fans and making all of us happy. And here's the thing. Let me get into this in a second. I got to tell you about ZipRecruiter real fast, because if there's one place you want to go that's going to help your company or just helping to hire some people at your firm, whatever it is, it's simple, fast, and smart. It's our friends at ZipRecruiter. It's a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. It's ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and then invites them to apply to your position. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, our Locked On Lions listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Welcome back, Matt Derry, with you on this Monday and a Tuesday. Again, thanks to Brett Whitefield for joining me. Let me be very clear here with something about the Lions draft and going through the list of names and talking about undrafted free agents and everything else. And, you know, we're fired up as Lions fans because it's just been such a long wait. And I'm not sitting here reading off the Mel Kiper grades and the Pete Prisco grades. You look at the players and you say, what were your concerns going into the draft? And where did you hope that the Lions hit in terms of helping to alleviate some of those concerns? Obviously, tight end. Okay? The Lions decided with their first pick, eighth overall, to go get a tight end. And he's going to start, and hopefully he's going to be a dominant player. Not hopefully, he needs to be. Because if TJ Hockenson can be that middle-of-the-field threat for Matthew Stafford and help block for Kerryon Johnson, this offense can go places and be much improved from a year ago. And I get that. But you look up and you say, did the Lions add another edge rusher that is going to be a high-impact guy right away? Well, maybe Austin Bryant can do that, but he didn't grade out all that well, and he's not a guy that came from Clemson that you really had heard of as being a dominant player. Did they add a cornerback that can push Tease Tabor possibly out of here and get another starter? Possibly. Maybe in the fifth round with Amani Oruwariye. And I like that. And I think he's going to be a good football player, and I think that is a steal. But is he a definite starter? No. There's a reason he slipped to the fifth round. You know, Will Harris, a defensive back, a safety. Did the Lions need a safety? Well, that could be argued. Jelani Tavai, we're going to go. This draft may all hinge on Tavai. I want him starting. I want him playing. I like the fact that they got a middle linebacker. I can't be a hypocrite and say I don't. Because I think Jared Davis on the edge and on the outside can be a lot more effective in that spot. But there's players that the Lions passed up. I get the second round. Greedy was there, and Justin Lane was there, and the list goes on and on. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you all about the sixth and seventh round guys. I just look up and I say, did they address right guard because TJ Lang left? And at least for the draft, no. Is Ben Showell a possibility? Yes. But how many undrafted rookie free agents come in and win the job? Not a lot, especially here in Detroit. And don't give me Joick Bell, okay? I don't need to hear about that. Or Joe Fourier, for that matter. Right? Those guys were, overnight sensations for about 2 minutes each. So I'm not overwhelmed. And I'm not underwhelmed. I will continue to say we're going to have to wait and see. And watching the preseason, and we know preseason football is brutal, but now we really got to keep an eye on some of these guys and really see if they can play. So that's my story there with this team and with this draft, and it's a wait-and-see approach. No question about it. I'm a little bit concerned that Vegas went from 7 over-under wins to 6 after the draft. This team better win more than 6 games. Have to win more than 6 games. That'll wrap things up for a Monday into Tuesday on Locked On Lions. Thanks to our friends at ZipRecruiter and Adaptive In-Home Solutions and Brett Whitefield from Pro Football Focus. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.